Good morning, and welcome to our capstone presentations for today. I am happy to introduce our first capstone presentation presenter is Punker Robertson. I have some biographical information just to help us get to know Punker's background a little better. Punker has a diverse and varied educational background. She has a note that she actually has attended 10 different colleges over the years, largely related to their moving around while Robbie was in the Navy. She has an Associates of Arts in Education from Monterey Peninsula College in Monterey, California, an RN degree from Olympic College in Bremerton, Washington, a Bachelor of Science in Health Education from the State University of New York, Plattsburgh campus, and she began her MDiv at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina, before joining us here at EMS. In terms of jobs, she's also had a varied career. She was a physical education teacher when they were stationed in Italy at a Department of Defense school. She was an RN in a Virginia nursing care facility, a nurse educator in a hospital, a Young Life volunteer area director, a school nurse, a health or science teacher, and a camp nurse. In terms of Punker's family, she has a wonderful and supportive husband, Robbie, who is seated right back there, to whom she's been married for nearly 47 years. They have 5 children, Ben, Scott, Jessica, Joel, and David, and 11 amazing grandchildren, ranging in ages from 21 to 7 months old. For the past 6 years, Punker has been a part-time pastor for 2 small Presbyterian congregations in Bath County, Virginia. And after graduation and ordination, she plans to remain as a part-time pastor in Bath County, but maybe adding another church or perhaps chaplaincy to her responsibilities, depending upon where God leads her next. Let's welcome Punker.
Good morning, and thank you all for being here. Many of you are my very good friends and excellent instructors. May I start with a word of prayer? Our gracious Lord, we do thank you for the opportunities that you give to us to share our hearts and our passions. And I pray that you will guide me this morning as I present a passion that I've had for many, many years of caring for folks, particularly at the end of their lifetimes. And may the words that I say and the scriptures that I recite touch the hearts of those that will be in the hearing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Homeward Bound Journey is a project that targets elderly and terminally ill people. The project addresses the needs of those target groups to process their life's journeys and prepares them for what is ahead of them in the dying process, and ultimately heaven. In my professional and personal experience, I have realized that often the spiritual needs of these folks are not openly dealt with, and that it's simply because they are not given the opportunity to do so. In the foreword to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's book, Death, the Final Stage of Growth, the author stated, "Death is a subject that is evaded, ignored, and denied by our youth-worshipping, progress-oriented society. It is almost as if we have taken on death as just another disease to be conquered. But the fact is that death is inevitable for all of us." This project is designed to attempt to fill this need by offering a program that focuses on important questions and issues that will allow individuals to evaluate their lives to the point, this point, and thus gain a sense of peace in their homeward bound journey. The needs and issues that this project will address are a review of their life's journey, how God has been part of the journey or not, what joys have they known and regrets, possible regrets, unresolved relationship issues and losses, concerns for their family when they're not here anymore, And have they accomplished all that they wanted to in their lifetime? And are they at peace about leaving this world? These topics will be addressed in the form of a travelogue, which is called The Homeward Bound Journey. And I have a few copies in the back if someone would like to have a copy to take home. It contains 7 open-ended questions for discussion with a care person, either in a home or long-term care facility environment. It can be used on a one-on-one situation or in a small group that has a good trusting level between each member. Why did I pick this project? I took care of my mother the last 10 years of her life and watched her deteriorate from an active elderly person who volunteered in the community, play bridge with friends, and fix great meals and chocolate chip cookies for her family, to an 85-pound, bent-over, very weak old lady who had no idea what day it was or who last visited her. But on the morning that she passed, at the age of 92, I asked her if she was ready to go to heaven and to be with Jesus and family members. Her response is a priceless memory for me. When I told her that there was going to be a great big party when she got to heaven, and she looked at me with a twinkle in her eye and a smile on her lips, and she said, "You know, this is going to be fun." She always liked parties. My mother, Ruth, was at peace and ready to leave this world and go on to the next. She had spent the last 10 years getting ready to go. She sold her house, stopped driving, allowed her blind dog to be put down without tears, and she moved in with us in a different state, far from friends and familiarity. She was brave to give up so much, but seemed to accept change well and to enjoy each day for whatever it brought. We were fortunate that she was so easy to care for. Because she was at peace, it allowed us to have peace at her passing, although she's greatly missed every day. Hers was a good life with a happy ending. But for many, the scenario is not the same. Many folks are left by their families in nursing homes or neglected in their own homes, unloved and forgotten. As a nurse in a nursing care unit at a veterans hospital and as a hospital chaplain, I met many folks who were in this situation. I was aware that there was a need for them to talk and to share more with others and to process their lives. If these folks had visitors, the conversations were often short and contained mostly small talk, avoiding any meaningful conversations about death and dying and the spiritual needs of the patient. When I was working as a nurse in the same facility, there was a patient who was dying of cancer. She was probably in her late 60s at the time. It was difficult to go into her room because her body was quite repulsive and the odor was strong. I took care of her medical needs as best that I could, but I failed miserably to take care of her psychological and spiritual needs. Prayers, perhaps the regret that I feel for not being more intuitive or sensitive to her desperate situation, has added to my desire to help others during this stage of their lives. Therefore, I have a passion to help the dying to know that they are loved, to help them process the meaning of their lives and to come to a state of acceptance of their passing with peace and dignity. Now, as a pastor, I see the need for many of my parishioners who are elderly to work through the stages of loss that they are experiencing. They're dealing with physical weaknesses and infirmities, loss of abilities and responsibilities, and depression. Therefore, practically every Sunday worship service is geared towards encouraging them in their journey and to give them hope. These folks will actually be part of my capstone project as I introduce the travel log to a group of ladies with whom I have a 6-year trusting relationship with. My prayer is that through this process of reflection and sharing, these ladies will, and all in the fall of their lives, will gain a sense of peace and be prepared for their next exciting journey. The theological and spiritual and psychological resources for my project are many. Of course, the Bible and commentaries are helpful with moral and ethical issues and questions. The primary scriptural references I'm using in this project are from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Also, John 14, 1 through 4, the familiar verse or passage. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. The main challenge to the productive use of the travel log is identifying the spiritual place that each person is at. Do they acknowledge God or some higher power or know Jesus as Lord, and have they walked with him throughout their lives? Are they at a place where they are willing and able to discuss the proposed questions about their lives in the log? And are they dealing with anger or disillusionment about religion and therefore reject allowing Christ in their lives? An additional challenge will be for caretakers who work in organizations such as secular hospitals or nursing homes, who are not allowed to push spirituality or a particular faith upon their clients. With these legal restrictions in mind, I will create a more generic travelogue version that can be used for these situations. The guide will still include spiritually related questions, but not focused on a relationship with Christ. If the clients have a basic belief in God, it will certainly assist the travelogue process in achieving the primary goal of helping them with their spirituality and to find peace. Hopefully, they will be led to a belief in Christ as their Redeemer and the way to eternal life. The images from Scripture and the selected Ecclesiastic verses are useful to give a framework for the open-ended questions in the log. The images of birth and life and death, of building up and letting go, for example, will give a preface for opening the doors to their lives and encourage releasing and sharing of their life stories and their struggles. On the bottom of each page, there is a prayer and an additional scripture reference that may lead the caretaker and leader to expound upon biblical examples of life stories that can serve as encouragement and understanding for the client. For example, the story of Abraham being called out by God to go to the land of Canaan in Genesis 12. It is a story that one may relate to leaving home and family and venturing out on their own or with a spouse and starting a new life. The story may trigger memories and stories of their own. There are other examples that I will not relate at this moment. I want to mention a few things. Billy Graham wrote a book called Nearing Home, Life, Faith, Finishing Well During His 92nd Year. On the leaf cover of his book, he wrote, "Explore with me not only the realities of life as we grow older, but also the hope and the fulfillment and even joy that can be ours once we learn to look at these years from God's point of view and discover his strength to sustain us each and every day." In Billy's book, he stresses one of the Bible's central truths, that every day, without exception, is a gift from God, entrusted to us to use for his glory. I believe that this statement summarizes the primary purpose of the homeward bound journey: for folks to find fulfillment in their lives right up to the end. It is my hope that in order to realize fulfillment, experiencing a life review and spiritual processing will help them to do so. I spoke with many different organizations, hospice and extended care facilities, and the director of resident services, and many of them were encouraging of this project. In fact, would like a copy of the journey to use. So I will be looking forward to a follow-up in this process. I would like to conclude then. The one doctor that I spoke with, she said that when I have a patient who's dying, particularly in their 40s, young, who would have much life ahead of them, I don't know what to say to them. And I think that's a common problem. We don't know what words to say. And again, hopefully, helping them through this process will be beneficial for them and their families as well. St. Francis of Assisi wrote a poem that seems quite fitting for this project and what it means to me. "Lord, make me an instrument of your health. Where there is sickness, let me bring cure. Where there is injury, aid. Where there's suffering, ease. Where there is sadness, comfort. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is death, acceptance and peace. Grant that I may not so much seek to be justified as to console, to be obeyed as to understand, to be honored as to love. For it is in giving of ourselves that we heal. It is in listening that we comfort, and in dying that we are born to eternal life." Amen. Thank you.